Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is truth. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. I ask that our love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that we approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen. I am who the word says that I am. I do what the word says to do.
I do what the word says to do.
And I have what the word says that I have.
I have what the word says I have.
I choose to open my heart. To receive everything the Lord has for me today. I've titled today's message, Mission Possible. Today, I'm sharing with you the heart of Elite Life Ministries. I want to start out by sharing the parable of the sower. This is a key parable for understanding the kingdom of God and how to receive from the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9 from the ESV. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. So the disciples came to Jesus and asked him, Lord, what did you mean by that parable? In Mark's account of this parable, Jesus tells them, he says to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying this parable is key to understanding all the parables that he taught, all the teachings of the kingdom of God. The secret to them lies in this parable. This parable is key in knowing this parable. So Jesus explained it to his disciples. We see that in verse 18 to 23 of Matthew 13. He says, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and another 30. We learn four keys here to receiving from the kingdom of God. Proverbs 4:23 from the NLT says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. We must guard and tend to the soil of our heart. So breaking down the parable, let's look at these four principles because they're key to understanding the kingdom of God. Verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, The evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. Notice that we must properly understand the word of God, the word of the kingdom, in order to benefit by it. We understand through the Holy Spirit, faithful teaching, and studying the word. That's point number one. We've got to understand the word. Number two, we must be rooted and grounded in love. Ephesians 3, 17 to 19 says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. See, when your roots don't go into Christ's love, when it's not based on what Christ did, when your roots are based in you and you have shallow soil where you don't have any depth of root, when persecution comes against the word, you're going to fall away because it's not connected to anything. When you are connected to Christ and the love of Christ, that's what allows you to stand firm through the testing and trials of life. Number three, Matthew 13, 22 says, for that was sown among the thorns is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. This person heard the word, must have understood it, but then they allowed the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches to choke it out, and it proved unfruitful in their life. We must guard our heart against the cares of the world and the love of money, as they will choke out the word that you know and make your life unfruitful. Money is an evil. It is a deceitfulness of putting your love and trust in money instead of God. Matthew 6, 31 to 33 says, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That is to be our approach. Finally, to receive from the kingdom, we see in Matthew 13, 23, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. There was a harvest in every life that followed the four keys that we just laid out. There will be a harvest in your life if, number one, you hear the word. Number two, you understand the word. Number three, you allow yourself to be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. Number four, you guard your heart against the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. If you do those things, you will see a harvest in your life. You will see the benefits of the kingdom of God working in your life. One of my assignments as a pastor is to faithfully teach and preach the word of God, the good news of the kingdom of God, in a way that those who hear it understand it. It is my purpose in life to know God, to love God, and to see people transformed by understanding the good news of the kingdom of God. I am passionate about seeing people's lives completely transformed as they understand the good news of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven isn't just for when we go to heaven. It's for our everyday life as we live in the blessings and fruit of the kingdom of God now, knowing that we're true citizens of heaven. I grew up in church, but it wasn't until a lot later in my life that I truly understood how good the gospel really was. Well, I knew Jesus wanted to be my Lord and Savior. I knew he wanted to save me from sin, but I didn't understand how grace was the empowerment to help me walk free from sin. I didn't understand how to walk through transformation in my life by following the laws of the kingdom. Therefore, I lived a life with a lot of condemnation and shame in it. It wasn't until I understood the kingdom of God and how to walk in my new identity in Christ that I started to see my life transformed. Have you noticed the world that we live in now? Have you looked around you lately? We live in a world filled with joy, beauty, wonder, and abundance. Yet, we're also living in a fallen world full of sin, loneliness, pain, and lack. Every time I go out, I see people with sad, worried, lonely faces. I see people glued to their phones, lost in distraction, living purposeless lives. I see hopelessness, pain, and bondage many times when I look in their eyes. There was a time I didn't pay attention to this. Once upon a time, I was the one trapped in hurt and pain, trying to numb my pain with substance abuse, which led to bondage and a feeling of hopelessness. I was a Christian. I'd asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior, but I didn't understand how to walk in the freedom that I knew Christ purchased for me. Because I was a Christian, I knew the sin and bondage that I was trapped in was wrong. So I lived with shame and self-condemnation for my sinful choices. I was so self-focused and consumed with my own issues that I found it easy to mind my own business and ignore the hurt and pain going on in people all around me. I thank God that's not my reality today. I found the answer to living an overcoming life, one of hope and peace. I received a revelation of God's abundant love for me and his amazing grace. And I realized it wasn't Jesus bringing the shame and condemnation into my life. God wasn't mad at me. God didn't hate me. God loved me. Jesus came to set us free. He didn't come to condemn us for the bondage and the sin and the struggle. When I began realizing that, I stopped avoiding my Bible out of shame, thinking I wasn't good enough to go to God. I thought my life was too much of a mess and God wouldn't want to talk to me. I knew that anybody, whosoever will, could come to Jesus to be forgiven of their sins. But then I understood that once I came to Jesus, I had to get my life right or God wouldn't want to spend time with me. And that was a lie from the enemy that it kept me trapped in bondage, even as a Christian. But praise God, I began to learn the not so secret key to walking in freedom. I found that understanding my identity in Christ and receiving through faith what God had made available to me in my mess by his marvelous grace is the key to living a life of victory in the kingdom of God. I started reading, believing, and obeying God's word. I found I didn't have to be perfect to experience freedom in Christ. That freedom was a journey. It wasn't like one day I woke up and had no struggles. It's like as I continually submitted my life to the Holy Spirit, to the Word of God, to allowing the Lord to work in my heart with his grace and patience, I began seeing the chains fall off my life. I began seeing the bondages broken. As I allowed the Word of God to change my thinking, my actions changed. And I began experiencing freedom and joy by walking in the blessings and fruit of living as a citizen of heaven while still here on earth. I realized that I don't need to be perfect and I don't have to have all the answers to make a difference to the hurting people all around me. I began to learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit and share with others the love of God that I had been experiencing. The love of God that transformed my life. I learned how to tell others about God's love and share it with them. I began to share the good news of Jesus Christ and the blessings of the kingdom of God with others, watching them begin their own journeys of freedom in Christ. As I share all this, it makes me think of a scene in a movie. In the movie Matrix, there's a man named Neo who has a calling on his life, but he's unaware of his true purpose in life. He's stuck in the hamster wheel of life, you could say. You can see he's unsatisfied, and he knows deep down there's more to life than what he's living. A woman named Trinity, who knows the truth, invites Neo to meet Morpheus, the leader of a group trying to save humanity. Here's what Morpheus says during that first meeting. The Matrix is everywhere. It's all around us. Even now, in this very room, you can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work or when you go to church or when you pay your taxes. It's the world that has been pulled over our eyes to blind you from the truth. Neo says, "What truth?" Morpheus replies, "That you are a slave, like everyone else. You were born into bondage, born inside a prison that you cannot smell, taste, or touch. A prison for your mind." Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. This is your last chance. After this, there's no turning back. In his left hand, Morpheus shows a blue pill. You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. In his other hand, he shows a red pill. He says, you take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. After a long pause, Neo begins to reach for the red pill. Morpheus says, remember, all I'm offering you is the truth, nothing more. Neo takes the red pill and swallows it. In the movie series, Neo goes on to learn the truth and then spend the rest of his life helping free other people from the same bondage that once held him captive. I tell you this because each of us has a choice to make. You could take the blue pill, so to speak, and go on living your life, however you've been living it. Or, if you haven't already, I want to invite you to take the red pill. Decide that you are done living for yourself. Done living for your sinful nature or the flesh. You can choose that from this day forward, your mission is to walk in freedom in Christ and then help others find true freedom that only comes through Jesus Christ. If you've already asked Jesus to be your Savior, but you're not living in daily surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, let today be the day that you make the commitment to live a sold-out life for Christ. Evaluate your life. How do you spend your time, your money? What consumes your thinking? Are you good news of the kingdom focused, or are you self-focused? My plans, my future, my focus. How are you spending your life? Let me challenge you to pray and ask God to open your eyes to see people who are in bondage and hurting all around you. Pray and ask God to begin using you to help share his love with those who are hurting. I'm not asking you to help everyone you see. I'm asking you to pray and ask God to show you through the Holy Spirit people who need a touch from God through you, sharing His love with them. I'm asking you to say yes to being part of God's solution for those who are hurting, hopeless, or in bondage. Those of us who know the truth have a duty to share the love of God and the freedom that we have found in Christ with others. Human pain, hopelessness, and bondage take on many forms. The Lord might just lead you to the person you least expected to be sent to. Be open to His leading. Maybe today, as you're listening, you're in a season of pain, hopelessness, or bondage. Maybe you can't find yourself free from sins that you hate. Jesus said in Luke 4, 18 and 19, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The answer you're looking for is found in Christ Jesus and by understanding how to tap into the blessings and fruit available to the citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus came proclaiming good news. Today, I'm going to share with you the mission of Elite Life Ministries. I'm sharing this with you as an invitation to join us. Join us regardless of whether or not you're currently walking in freedom, victory, and joy in your life. If you are walking in freedom, victory, and joy in your life, praise God. Pass it on to others and help us show and share the love of God by sharing the gospel of the kingdom with others. If you're not currently walking in freedom, victory, and joy in your life, I've got good news for you. Your freedom, victory, and joy is coming as you begin learning how to allow the Word of God to transform your life. As you listen to kingdom teaching that makes the Word of God understandable, you must know the love of God and begin seeing your life transformed by surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. No matter where you're at in your spiritual journey, you must become rooted and grounded in love. You need a revelation of God's love for you. Ask God to give you a revelation of His love for you, of His love for you in your present state, of His love for you no matter what sin is present in your life. You've got to understand that righteousness, the condition that makes you acceptable to God, is provided to you by God's grace, and all you have to do is receive it by faith. That means you choose to believe that it is, that you are right and have right standing with God, no matter what's going on in your life. This means you don't have to work to earn your own righteousness. You come to God as you are, even if you've been saved for years. Like I mentioned, most of us know, oh gosh, anybody can come to God. But then the church teaches that once you come to God, you got to get cleaned up right away or God's mad at you. Look, there is a process of sanctification that we go through, but we have got to do it through the grace and power of the Holy Spirit, submitting our life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and allowing Him to work with us. And that doesn't mean it's okay to just go around and continue sinning. It means every time you sin, you're quick to repent, but you don't let it change your standing with God and drive you away from God so you don't spend time in His Word, so you don't spend time in prayer, because it is Word and prayer, it is spending time with the Lord that begins transforming your life by changing the way you think. It's so key that you understand this process. Also, you don't have to have it all together to be a blessing to someone else. Maybe you've seen change in one area of your life, but you're still believing God for change in other areas of your life. Praise God. Testify and share your story of change in the area that you've seen God change you in. Share it with someone who needs freedom in their life, specifically in that area. As each of us allows God to change our life with his love, we can then help others experience the blessings of God's kingdom. My mission, our mission at Elite Life Ministries, while worded differently, is a continuation of the mission that Jesus commissioned 2,000 years ago after he died for our sins and rose 3 days later. Before he ascended to heaven, Matthew 28, 18 to 20 from the ESV, and Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Who was Jesus speaking to? He was speaking to his disciples. He was speaking to the people who had had their lives changed. See, we come to God, we let God change our life, and then we take it to others. We don't just have our life changed so we can sit back and live a happy life, live the American dream. No, that is not the kingdom of God. That is not the gospel. That is not the good news. Matthew 24, 14, Jesus speaking of the end of the age, the end of the time, the last days, he says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." I invite you to make our mission your mission as well. Here is Elite Life Ministries' mission possible: to know, show, and share the love of God, living an elite life. To know, show, and share the love of God, living an elite life. We first have to know the love of God. Once we know the love of God, we then show it to others. And as we're showing it to others, we share it with them and give them an opportunity to participate in the love by sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with them, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We know, show, and share the love of God, living an elite life. What does it mean to live an elite life? The gospel of the kingdom is amazing. And here's a key. It's been talked about as an upside down or a backwards kingdom to the kingdom of the world. You know, the flesh is opposed to the spirit. What we see highly elevated in the world is the opposite in the kingdom of God. The world talks about pride. You should have pride in yourself. The Bible talks about humility and that we have to live a life of humility, submitting to the lordship of Jesus Christ. The world talks about the powerful elite. When you think of the elites of the world, they're typically people that are rich and powerful with people serving them. When we talk about living an elite life, it is a life of service. Because in the kingdom of God, the Bible teaches that those who want to be great in the kingdom of God shall be a servant. So what is an elite life? An elite life is a life being transformed by surrendering to the lordship of Jesus Christ, rooted and grounded in love. As we know, believe, and obey God's word, we experience the blessings and fruit of living as citizens of heaven and ambassadors of his kingdom. When we talk about living an elite life, we're talking about a life being transformed by surrendering to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Rooted and grounded in love, as we know, believe, and obey God's word, we experience the blessings and fruit of living as citizens of heaven and ambassadors of his kingdom. Again, our mission is to know, show, and share the love of God, living an elite life. That no, show, and share is this framework that teachers use for show and tell. No, show, and share. Our goal is to show and tell the love of Christ. What is show and tell? It's where you have something that matters to you and you tell other people about it and you share it with other people. That is our job as believers. When the love of God transforms your life, when you see the word of God working in your life and you see your life being transformed, you share it with others. To know, show, and share the love of God, living an elite life. So what is it? An elite life, we're going to break this down a little bit. An elite life is a life being transformed by surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Most people talk about Jesus becoming your Lord and Savior. Very few people understand Lordship these days. We have to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That means He's the one calling the shots in our life. It means He's the one that we first of all seek first the kingdom of God when it comes to how we're planning out our life, what we're doing. On a daily basis, it means that we are submitting and surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Not my will, but yours be done, Lord. When you know you shouldn't be doing something, it means that you choose to follow and fall in line with Jesus Christ being your Lord. It's a daily surrender. You got to be rooted and grounded in love. You've got to have a revelation of God's love for you. It grows. It's something that continually grows as we spend time in the truth of the Word of God. This is why the next part says, as we know, believe, and obey God's word. When I talk about knowing the word, I'm not talking about knowing it with a head knowledge. I'm talking about knowing it and understanding it. It's an understanding where when we take the word of God in, we're feeding on his word and allowing the Holy Spirit to unlock it in our life by meditating on it, by listening to it, by studying it, by listening to good teaching. As we know, believe, and obey God's word, we experience the blessings and fruit of living as citizens of heaven and ambassadors for his kingdom. As citizens of heaven, what does that mean? That's a reminder for us that we are about our Father's business. We are part of his kingdom. Our permanent home is in heaven. That means our focus, that doesn't mean we don't take care of the stuff that we're blessed with here and enjoy where we're at and the things that God's given us while we're here on earth. But it does mean that that's not what has us. We're not owned by stuff. Stuff doesn't own us. If God tells us to get rid of stuff, we get rid of stuff because the kingdom of heaven is our focus. Our citizenship is in heaven, so we know where our heart is. Next, we're ambassadors for his kingdom. What's an ambassador? It's someone who represents the kingdom of God. That means that we are to be living, first of all, living this. That's what's an elite life. It's a life that's living this, that's walking in the blessings of it. Now, does it mean that your whole life is transformed immediately? No, that's the reason I put on here, being transformed by surrendering. It's a process. It's an ongoing process. It's not that we are done being transformed. We are continually being transformed during our time on earth. And it's a progressive sanctification is another way to say that. We are going through progressive sanctification as we're drawing close to the Lord and knowing his word and submitting to the Holy Spirit in our life. Ambassadors for his kingdom means that we tell others, that we have a heart to share the good news of the kingdom of God with others. I chose the word elite for elite life because it has multiple meanings. In the dictionary, one of the meanings of elite is of high birth. There is no higher birth than being born again or born from above as a child of the Most High God. We desire everyone to experience this new life available by God's grace and received through faith. The next meaning for elite can be the best or most select. We believe that living an elite life is the very best life anyone can live because there is no true life apart from Christ. A life that's submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, a life being transformed by surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, rooted and grounded in love, As we know, believe, and obey God's word, we experience the blessings and fruit of living as citizens of heaven and ambassadors of his kingdom. That is the very best life anyone can live. Finally, living an elite life as believers is not about elitism, thinking we're superior to others. It's about embracing the life that we were created to live, loving and obeying God, and loving and serving others. 1 Timothy 2, 3-4 says, "This is good and is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Our heart as believers is to work with God's heart there, desiring those that we see, those that we come in contact with, people that we know, to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. When we talk about there is no other life because there is no life apart from Christ, 1 John 5, 11-12 says, "And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." John 10:10 says, "A thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." That was Jesus speaking. Jesus came so that we can have life and have it abundantly, in its full, overflowing. That's the kind of life that God desires for each of us as we choose to live an elite life. Our mission is to know, show, and share the love of God, living an elite life. To know, show, and share the love of God, living an elite life. I want to invite you to make that your mission as well. To know, show, and share the love of God, living an elite life. If you don't yet have a relationship with the Lord, if you haven't made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want to invite you right now to turn your life over to the Lord and begin your journey of living an elite life, to begin knowing the love of God. It starts with knowing. Romans 3:23 from the ESV, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." 1 Corinthians 15:3 through 6, "For I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep." Romans 10:9 through 13 says, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the Scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Here's a simple prayer of salvation. Feel free to say it differently if you want. It needs to come from your heart. It's not as much about the exact words as it's about your heart posture towards turning your life over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ from this day forward. Heavenly Father, I acknowledge that I have sinned against you and I'm in need of your grace. I ask for your forgiveness. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is now Lord of my life. I believe in my heart he died for my sins and that you raised him from the dead. Thank you, Father, for saving me and forgiving me and giving me eternal life. I receive your love and gift of salvation today. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 9, 36 to 38, for those of us who know the Lord. When he, speaking of Jesus, saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." In the next chapter, we see Jesus sending out those disciples. It's one thing to pray, "Lord, send someone else." It's another thing to understand that as a believer, you are commissioned by God to live the Great Commission. You are commissioned to know, show, and share the love of God. That's not a commission from Elite Life Ministries. That's a mission from your Lord and Savior, to know, show, and share the love of God. Isaiah 6, 8 says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?' And then I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" Let that be your prayer. "Here I am, send me." When we say that, a lot of times people think of being sent to a foreign mission field or something else. Let that be your daily prayer. "Lord, show me someone today that I can share your love with." It doesn't have to be complicated. Share what God's done in your life. Even if there's areas in your life where you're like, I don't have this all put together. You're on a journey. Okay? None of us are there. We haven't arrived yet, but we've left. That's key to understanding. You're not going to be there until you're in heaven face to face with the Lord. So just realize, if you allow the lie that because everything's not ready, you can't share something with someone else, then you may miss out on the blessings that God wants to bring into your life when you step out in faith and show and share his love to others. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, right now, I thank you for giving each one of us a revelation of your love for us. Father, we first of all have to know your love. Lord, I thank you that you love us so much that you sent what was most precious to you, that your one and only Son, to come and take our place and to give us, through your grace, the privilege of becoming your children. Father, I thank you for revealing your love to each and every one of us in special ways, Father, in the upcoming days. Remind us of your love. Help it grow in our hearts. Father, I thank you that as we know your love, that you open our eyes to begin seeing people who are in bondage and who are hurting all around us. Father, we ask you to begin using us to help share your love with those who are hurting. Let our heart cry be, "Here I am, send me." Father, we just commit to making our time, our resources, and our life available to you to use for your kingdom. I thank you, Father, for many lives transformed through the truth of your kingdom, through your Holy Spirit, through the work that only you can do, Father. Lord, we can preach the word, but the growth belongs to you. Father, we thank you that for each of us, as we share your love, Lord, that we remember that you're the one that makes the seed grow. Thank you, Lord, that you are faithful to watch over your word to perform it. Father, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you for what you're doing at Elite Life Ministries and in each one of our lives. We thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.